James chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. You probably know the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. It became quite famous a few years ago when the movie Forrest Gump came out. And that was one of the key sayings in that film. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And the idea behind that little proverb is simple. Lemon suggests life gets sour, difficulties. But lemonade is a sweet drink. And so it's making the point, despite your difficulties, be positive. Make something good out of what is something unpleasant. Now, if we're honest, it's easier to smile at a statement like that than it is to practice it. But the basic philosophy is good. In fact, it is biblical. It is biblical to take a negative situation and to create something positive from it. And some of you are sitting there with a Bible in your hand, or you've got the Bible on tablet or on phone. And that Bible is full of people who lived on that principle. They turned defeat into victory, trials into triumph. Instead of becoming victims, they became victors. And James, in his letter, gives four key principles of how we can make lemonade when we've got a load of lemons, when life is difficult, when we are struggling, when we are facing trials and problems. How do we overcome them and grow through them? And so out of all these verses, I'm just going to pull four key words. Okay? Here's the first one. He says, rejoice. Rejoice. Verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, remember the background. Verse 1. This is written to people who have been forced out of their homes. Some of them have had to leave their families, their jobs, to escape persecution. To the 12 tribes scattered. So he's not writing to people sitting in a nice cozy church where they've got a comfortable job, a nice family, a nice house, a nice car. Life is good. He's writing to people who are facing problems. So it's not just a nice little platitude he's giving them. He's going to give them good advice that works in difficult situations. And the whole book of James is a hands-on practical book of how to live. So this section deals with trials. Next week we'll look at temptation. There's not a person here who doesn't struggle with temptation. And James knocks it on the head. He tells us how to get a grip and how to overcome temptation. And to deal with other issues in a real practical way. It's a great book, the book of James. And he's talking to people who have suffered for their faith. The 12 tribes scattered abroad. And there's only one reason they've been scattered. Because they follow Jesus. And they won't deny him. Now here's the point. Because we are God's scattered people, doesn't mean they are God's sheltered people. They are God's scattered people, not God's sheltered people. All Christians at some time will experience trials and difficulties. Some trials come simply because we're human. Things like sickness, accidents, disappointments, even tragedies happen to us because we are human and we live in a world that has fallen, a world that has gone wrong. Non-Christians experience trials and difficulties, so do Christians. It's part of living in a world gone wrong. But other trials come because we are Christians. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you don't just get the problems of the world that everyone gets, you get an added dose. And so many of us are brothers and sisters. Perhaps, maybe the majority of Christians around the world suffer persecution for their faith. Just recently, a couple of weeks ago, on Palm Sunday, the 9th of April, in northern Egypt, 44 people died. Why? Two bombs went off in churches through terrorist acts. The Open Doors website, who made the children's DVD we saw earlier, says this. To quote, in some ways, the 2017 World Watch List has a depressing, familiar feel. For the fourth year in a row, the level of overall persecution has risen. North Korea is still number one. Islamic extremism continues to strangle the expansion of the Christian faith. Millions of Christians around the world now live their lives against varying levels of discrimination, discovery, violence, and arrest. Following Jesus has never been harder, perhaps. But it goes on to say this. Yet there is some good news. Above all, the fact that the church is growing. There has been a remarkable growth in believers from a Muslim background, not least from those who have been encountered, who have encountered extreme Islam, choosing Christianity instead. And all around the world, persecuted Christians are continuing to discover a depth, a strength, a brightness to their faith that can only be found in the darkest of times. So God's scattered people are certainly not God's sheltered people. And all Christians, all people experience trials and difficulties, but Christians get extra simply because of following Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, if they treat the master this way, they'll treat the servant the same way? Now, I love this little section of the book of James. It's full of little word gems. And the first one is that first word, consider. Consider. Some Bible translations use the word count. Count it all joy. Consider it. It means to think about, to regard, to look upon. It's a financial term. In other words, our outlook to trials and difficulties determines the outcome. Our outlook determines our outcome. Let me give you an example. Some of you all know the Christian Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a persecuted Christian. During the Second World War, she was arrested with her sister Betsy. They were put in a German concentration camp. They ended up in Ravensbrück. To them, it was the worst concentration camp that there had been. As they entered the barracks, they noticed two things. First of all, it was overcrowded, packed. Far more people in that barracks than ought to be. Secondly, it was infested with fleas. They were everywhere. Their morning Bible reading that day was 1 Thessalonians, and the passage they read was this: rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. Betsy told Corrie to stop and thank God for her circumstances. Corrie said, how can we? The place is crowded. It's full of fleas. No, we've got to thank God. During the months that they spent at that camp, they had total freedom to read the Bible and to pray together and to meet together as believers. I think, am I going in and out here?
Yeah.
I'll change mics. Some of them say it's not fair. They don't have to hear him, and we do. During the month, she found incredible freedom to read the Bible, to pray, etc. And the reason was this: the German guards would not enter the barracks because of the fleas. So what they saw as a curse to start with was actually a blessing. It kept the German guards away, and therefore they could do whatever they wanted. Pray, read the Bible, have church. So their attitude in that situation was to say, here's a negative situation, but out of it can come good. And that's what James says in this little section. Out of our trials and difficulties, look for God to do something good. What does he say about trials and difficulties? Number one, verse 2. They are inevitable. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Notice he didn't say if you face trials. He said when. They're on the way. Or you've got them, or they're coming. It's not encouraging news, but it's realistic. Another one of those little word gems in this verse is that expression, many kinds, or the word various. The Greek word says polka dot. Polka dot. I sat next to a girl yesterday who was wearing a polka dot shirt. It's a blue shirt she had on with white spots splattered all over it. And in life, things come like polka dots. They just come all over our lives. And we think, why me? Why now? It's not fair. And the idea is our lives will be splattered with trials of all different shapes and sizes. That's the bad news. But James goes on to tell us good news, verse 3 to 4. Those trials and difficulties do have a long-term purpose. You know, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If we want to grow through trials and difficulties and not just endure them, you've got to view them in the right way. Not just as inconveniences, but as a test designed from God. Now don't misunderstand me. God is not in heaven thinking, how can I torpedo that person's faith? How can I give them a test that's really going to run them down? That's not the idea at all. God is for us, not against us. Again, there's that little word gen. The Greek word for testing means approved. Approved, the genuine article. In the olden days, you would get a pot. And if it had been through the furnace and come out without cracking, they used this word on it. It has been approved. It has been tested. It is the genuine article. And God allows trials into our lives, not because he's nasty, because everyone faces trials. But he can work through that trial to bring good out of it. He takes the negative and he can turn it into a positive. He can help shape our character and make us more like Christ. There's an old poem that I quite often like that just illustrates that. It goes like this. The tree that never had to fight for sun and sky and air and light, that stood out in the open plain and always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. The man who never had to toil to heaven from the common soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky and light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger wind, the tougher trees. The farther sky, the greater length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snows, in tree or man, good timber grows. Where thickest stands the forest growth, we find the patriarchs of them both. And they hold converse with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars of many winds and of much strife. This is the common law of life. Hey, God takes our difficult circumstances, and through it he produces a stronger, deeper character within us. And that's what James says. That's why he says, rejoice. Take the positive out of the situation. Don't just dwell on the negative. The second key word in this section is this one. Recognize. That's verse 3. Recognize. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Here's some advice on how to rise above our troubles. He says, don't get depressed. Don't just continually moan about the difficulties you are facing. Rise above them. I like the story of some junior school children in a Catholic school. And they went into the cafeteria at lunchtime. And at one end of the row of food was a bowl of apples. And the nuns had placed a sign above it saying, take only one apple. God is watching. And at the other end of the line of food, there was a bowl of chocolate bars. And a little child had scribbled a note, take as many as you want, God's watching the apples. Now, unlike us, God is able to watch more than one thing at one time. And as believers, we have to remember God is aware of our situation. Our circumstances do not take him by surprise. He's aware of them. In fact, the Apostle James reverses human thinking in this verse. He tells us Trials and difficulties actually work for us, not against us. That is the opposite of the world. People outside say trials and difficulties are against us always. But James says, no, no, no. They can actually work for us because God can use them for our good. God knows what he's doing. He loves us, but he allows these trials to come so that we can put on spiritual muscle and be more godlike and more Christ-like. I'm sure you've all had one of those woven bookmarks, or when we go on holiday sometimes, you go down at a row of shops and they're all selling carpets and they've got them all hanging up and they all look beautiful from one side. But if you go to the reverse side, you see all the threads and it's just a mess. But as long as you look at it from the right side, beautiful patterns. Look at the back of a carpet or a woven bookmark, you've just got a mess. We see the mess. That's how we view our trials and difficulties. God is on the other side. He sees the pattern. It makes sense in the long term. That's why we can be positive, even in our trials. In verse 3, he writes, You know, God is not absent. He's not distant. He hasn't abandoned us and said, get on with it. He's at work for our good, even in difficult times. Listen, faith is never faith if it's not tested. Otherwise, it's academics. It's in your head. If your faith is just knowledge, it's not faith. Faith has to be applied. You think of Abraham in the Old Testament. Great man of faith. Abraham, do you trust me? Yeah. Okay, stay where you are. No. Leave your home then. Prove it. What? Yep, leave your home and go somewhere else. See, faith in action. It doesn't make sense. Well, do you trust me? Abraham, take your son, offer him on the mountain. What? He's my one, and this is where my future family heirs are coming from. Go and sacrifice him. It doesn't make sense. But we're not in a classroom, we're in life. And so God gives us situations that will stretch our faith and test our faith, and we have to apply our faith. Do we believe it or not? Or have we just got an academic belief? It's all in our head. We can tick all the right boxes, but actually it doesn't make any difference in our lives. The only way God develops perseverance and patience in our lives is through tests and trials. Endurance cannot be gotten by reading a book. Hey, even War and Peace, you might have to endure going through it, but it won't create endurance in your character. Endurance is never created by listening to a sermon, no matter how long. Endurance isn't attained even by praying. Endurance, perseverance, patience is only a quality we gain by going through difficulties and trials. So our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, trials just upset us. If we value material and physical more than spiritual, we'll not count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, trials make us bitter, they don't make us better people. Remember the words of Job in the Old Testament. In Job chapter 23 verse 10, when everything was falling apart, he said this, he knows the way I take. That's faith, isn't it? When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. That was a wise man. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Do you know, no goldsmith would deliberately waste precious ore. They put it into the smelting furnace only long enough to remove the impurities, and then it comes out even purer. And Job could say, God, you're doing that with me. I'm in these trials, but they're there for my benefit. So God allows us to go through different trials and sufferings so that we reflect his glory and his beauty. James says, recognize that fact. Here's the third key word. Remain. Endure. Don't give up. No matter how many steps there are, keep on climbing. That's the idea. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Sir Winston Churchill, who was voted Britain's greatest, no, the greatest Briton ever. Not sure I agree with that, but obviously a lot of people highly respect Churchill. He took 3 years to get through his ninth year class at school. The ninth year of his education, he had to go through that same class 3 years in a row. So it was kind of ironic, really, when years later, Oxford University asked him to come back and address all the students. This man who had struggled academically. He arrived in his usual format. Cigar in one hand, cane in the other, and a hat upon his head. He stood up before the students. He leant on the podium. They were all on the edge of their seats. What is this great man going to share with us? How long is he going to speak for? 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour? Who knows? Who cares? This is Churchill. He leant on the podium and he just said this. Never give up. Stood back. Looked at everyone. Went to the pulpit a second time. Stood on his toes, leaned forward. Never give up. Took his cane, put his hat on, and that was it. That's what the Apostle James says here. Never give up. Perseverance must finish its work. That term let or must, it means cooperate with it so that you learn through it. An elderly Christian man in communist-controlled Budapest was asked about the effects of persecution and discrimination on the church. He replied, "It is like the deep, fast-flowing Dunabi River. See, the banks of that river were artificially narrowed, and it runs through the city of Budapest. As a result, the river's fast waters dug deeper, because it was narrowed, into the river bottom." He said believers under restrictions and persecution have limited freedom. They can't go that way. But in their faith, they have gone deeper, deeper into God. And if you scan down to verse 12, that's the truth James emphasizes. Blessed is the one who perseveres in the trial. They have stood the test. That person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Hey, those who stand the test, says James, are rewarded. Firstly, they grow in their Christian character. Secondly, he is rewarded because they bring glory to God as people look at them coping in that situation and say, God's at work there in that person's life. And thirdly, they will be granted a crown of life when Jesus Christ returns. And the last R word is that middle section. How do we find the strength to cope in difficulties? Where do we get the power to exercise faith? Request, verses 5 to 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. When you're going through difficult times, the Bible says you need to pray. You need to bring God into the equation. Verse 5, ask of God. Without his perspective, without his strength and encouragement, hey, you're going to struggle. You just ain't going to make it. And James tells us what to pray. Ask for wisdom. No. Ask that will be taken away. Ask for healing. Ask for this. No. James says, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom to understand. Someone has said that the difference between wisdom and knowledge is this. Knowledge, for example, is understanding a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting a tomato in a fruit salad. One is knowledge, one is wisdom. Again, someone says, wisdom, knowledge is the ability to take things apart. Wisdom is the ability to put them back together again. The two are not in conflict. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. And that's what we're asked to pray for, wisdom. I read this story. An elderly couple in a small church were going through great trials. She had a stroke. Her husband had gone blind. Over the next few weeks, the husband's health rapidly deteriorated. He was sent to a hospice to die. The pastor of the church went to visit the wife, and he assured her that he was praying for her. The wife then asked him a question that took him by surprise. What are you asking God to do in this situation? What are you praying for? Well, he stuttered and he said, well, I'm asking God to help you, to strengthen you. And then she said this, I appreciate that, but pray one more thing. Pray that I'll have the wisdom not to waste all of this. Pray that I'll have the wisdom not to waste all of this. That's what James is saying here in chapter 1, verse 5. We need wisdom to see that actually it's not just a trial. We can grow through the trial. We can mature through the trial. We can glorify God through the trial. Thank you. Do I need that now or later?
Yeah.
We're almost through anyway. So there's a promise here to the person who handles their trials correctly. Verse 12, blessed, happy many times. Hey, we can still know a joy through the heartache. That quality doesn't come. Joy, happiness is found in circumstances. Joy is found in God. So if we're going to be happy or blessed, which is a deeper form of happiness, we have to be focused on God, not just on circumstances. And then the second promise, a crown of life. Don't think that just refers to pie in the sky when we die. I think we experience a reward from God in this life as well as the next. So, four key words when it comes to trial. Firstly, rejoice. God is actually in control. Second, recognize he has a plan to conform us to Christ's image, even through those trials. Thirdly, remain until God brings us out of those difficulties. And fourthly, request. Find strength and encouragement in God. Let's pray. Lord, none of us want to experience trials and difficulties and suffering and persecution and all the things we consider to be negative. We are aware they are part of life. We are aware they're a part of life, and we are aware, Lord, that we cannot escape them. Help us, Lord, we pray, to find strength and encouragement and hope in you. And for those in this room this morning who are going through difficult times, we pray for them. Lord, may they know your healing physically, emotionally, spiritually at this time. Pour your grace and your love upon them, we ask. And those who are comforting and ministering to them, to their partners, their loved ones, Lord, bless them too, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.